Leonard, if you would please find your way to the council chambers, that would be great, in case they're watching TV. How are you all? Good?
You want me to go get him? I know where he usually is. They'll let me in.
Here he comes. Usually you hear him before you see him.
First it's the flourish.
Yeah.
And the entourage.
There he is. Well, it is... It is indeed a sad day for Portland. Someone who has served the people of this city with incredible focus and enthusiasm and compassion. Someone who can retire knowing that she has literally helped thousands and thousands of folks through tough times get to better times, is retiring. And she leaves huge shoes to fill. And so as the presiding officer at today's meeting, I'm incredibly honored to read a proclamation, and others on the council, I'm sure, have things that they'll want to say. So could you please come forward so we can embarrass you? I would say in the spotlight, but Commissioner Fish made us take them down. So in this candlelight. So this is a proclamation signed by Mayor Tom Potter, and it reads, "Whereas Portland prizes its citizens who, through their lives, continually take on the task of helping others, and whereas Margaret Bax has spent her career working for the betterment of the city of Portland, and whereas Margaret Bax, in her dual role as housing policy manager for the city and for the Portland Development Commission, was a passionate advocate who can be credited with producing and preserving over 15,000 units of housing for low-income families, seniors, and people with disabilities, including over 1,000 units of low-income housing in the River District. And whereas Margaret Bax has helped to increase the awareness of the need for affordable housing across our region, and whereas Margaret Bax has helped the city exceed its Metro 2040 growth management targets, and whereas Margaret Bax has helped the city to implement its 10-year plan to end homelessness, include laying the groundwork for the Resource Action Center, and whereas Margaret Bax played an instrumental role in assembling local funding for Portland's two Hope 6 projects, transforming Columbia Villa and New Columbia and Irish Court into Humboldt Garden, and where Margaret Bax's advocacy for a permanent, stable source of funding for affordable housing has inspired other advocates who will carry on the work in Salem and statewide. Now, therefore, Tom Potter, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, does hereby declare August 21st, 2008, as an official day of appreciation for Margaret Bax and in Portland, and all over the world, and encourage all residents to observe this day." Congratulations. That's great. And we'll get a picture with you in a minute with the certificate. But in the meantime, does anyone on council want to say anything?
Well, of course, I've got to work with Margaret a lot, especially when Commissioner Sten was here. And just what a great asset you've been for everything that the mayor wrote in the resolution, but just on a personal level, it's just been really a joy to work with you, and I appreciate so much your work. And I know you're going to have a good time.
Thank you.
Margaret, we inherited each other. You are the city's policy director for housing, and I'm the city's housing commissioner and have been the last 8 weeks. And in those 8 weeks, you've helped me understand all of the gnarly issues. And I don't know why that word comes to mind, but I've come to learn about all the gnarly issues that you spend your day unwinding. Low-income people in this community have no greater friend. When the Resource Access Center is built someday, it'll be built largely because of your efforts. When veterans have housing in South Waterfront and a place to live in dignity, it'll be largely because of your efforts. When we have a regional housing strategy and a revolving housing fund, it will be largely because of your efforts. When we celebrate the completion of the 10-year plan to end homelessness and finally find a permanent housing solution for all the folks and fellow citizens who live on the street. It will be largely because of your efforts. And the fruits of your efforts are already on display in places like the New Columbia, where hundreds of people now live in dignity and with renewed hope for the future because of your work. I'm going to reserve most of my more embarrassing comments for tonight's celebration party that I'll be attending with you. But I just want to say on behalf of the housing community and as the housing commissioner for the city of Portland, a heartfelt thank you for all of your good work.
Yay. Would you like to say anything?
Probably just start crying. Thanks. I didn't expect this, so big surprise, and appreciate your comments. I guess the only thing that I can say is I feel extremely lucky to be able to spend most of my career working with people and on issues that I care a lot about, and particularly the issues that truly are a passion for me. And just am thrilled that when I look back at what a terrific opportunity that I've been able to have, and just thank everyone who's allowed me to be part of this whole Portland process. So thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Can we get a quick group picture?
Okay. Jamal, you have a camera?
Yeah, I'm not good at this.
That's all right.
You guys are used to this all the time.
Well, smile. Pretend like you have to grab this part, otherwise people are going to...
What part?
Jamal.
I didn't hear any.
Jamal, if you have to crop the picture, start, left to right with Adam. So hang on to one side.
All right, I have to grab it. All right.
Should we do one more?
Yeah, absolutely.
City Council will come to order for our Thursday, August 21st session. Would you please call the roll?
Adams.
Aye. Here.
Fish.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Seltzman. Potter.
So do we have any upfront, anything you need to say on anything? All right. Carla, please read item 1186.
Accept staff report and recommendation and order of council for buyers measure 49 claim.
Chris?
Actually, I'd like to start with the Boyle claim, if I may, because Mr. Boyle is here right now.
Okay. So that would be...
1187.
Yep.
Sorry, I didn't tell you.
1187.
Accept staff report and recommendation and order of council for Boyle measure 49 claim.
Chris?
Okay, good afternoon. My name is Chris Dirth. I'm the city's Measure 49 program manager, and I'm here to present the first of four Measure 49 claims that we have. Just by way, of a little background, under Measure 49, the city is obligated to re-examine all of the approved Measure 37 claims that you approved over the course of the last couple of years, and these four are four of seven that were approved previously. If you recall, one of those seven was the Baker claim that you've already decided had vested rights, so that's one out of the way. We'll have four more today, and then we'll have two more in coming weeks and months. So starting with the Boyle claim, the council first heard this claim in February of 2007, and now you are reconsidering it under Measure 49. This claim is located in the Southwest Hills neighborhood. It is located on Southwest High Street between Terrace Drive, you can see on the map there, It's in the R5 zone. The lot is 8,400 square feet. And as you can see, the neighborhood is a mixture of large and square and small lots. The Boyles sought an adjustment. They wanted the ability to seek an adjustment to allow a greater density on their property to allow them to subdivide and have one additional property and house on their property there. Here's an aerial photograph of the property. You can see that the house is on the north end of the property against High Street. The southern side of the property on Terrace is undeveloped. Here's a photo of the southern end abutting Terrace Drive. The regulations which the Boyles challenged in their Measure 37 claim were these two, which prohibited them from seeking an adjustment to subdivide their property. They're in an R5 zone, which means that they would need 5,000 square feet for a second lot. When they purchased the property, they could have sought an adjustment to subdivide with the 8,400 square feet that they have. The law was changed to not allow them to do that. They challenged it. You agreed that they had lost some value and granted their claim and allowed them the ability to seek an adjustment, not necessarily to receive one, but just to seek one under the normal procedures. So at that time, you concluded that the Boyles had an avenue, at the time of their purchase, an avenue to request relief to the density standards on their property, and that that avenue had been closed to them, and the use of their property has been restricted and the value reduced, and that's why you granted the Measure 37 claim at that time. So you approved the claim and it approved an order to not apply those two regulations that they had challenged. Now we'll move on to Measure 49. We need to re-examine this claim as an approved Measure 37 claim under Measure 49, and it requires the city to send out a letter informing all of the approved claimants of their rights and the information that we needed to process their Measure 49 claim. We did that on March 5th. In a timely way. Mr. Boyle received this letter along with all of the other claimants, but he did not respond in the 90-day period that the statute allows him to do so. So I'm going to run through very briefly for you the 11 criteria that Measure 49 requires us to examine these claims. First, the claimant has to be an owner of the property. The Boyles certainly are. All owners must consent to the claim they have. The property must be within the UGB, and it is. The dwellings, they must show that the dwellings were allowed at the time of acquisition, and that was the case. They have to show that the property is zoned for residential use, and that is the case also. And they need to show that one or more land use regulations prohibit establishing a single-family dwelling. And you, at the time that you decided the Measure 37 claim, decided that in a way they were prohibited from establishing a second single-family dwelling because they were prohibited from seeking an adjustment to allow that land division and a second lot on their property. They need to show that the challenge regulation is not exempt under Measure 49. Measure 49 has very similar exemptions as Measure 37 did, the main one being public health and safety regulations are exempt. And in this case, these regulations are not. The challenge regulation, he needs to show that the challenge regulation was enacted after the subject property was brought into the UGB, and it was. The I pertains to metro and not to cities. J is the challenge regulation was adopted after the property was annexed to the city, and that is the case here. And K, the challenge regulation reduced the fair market value of the property according to an appraisal conducted as required by Measure 49. And Measure 49 has very precise requirements as to what is required for an appraisal. And that's primarily what we'll be talking about today and what's in contention because Mr. Boyle did not submit a real estate appraisal in a timely way. He did submit one to me yesterday at 5 o'clock. But it was not within the 90 days that the statute requires. And so he'll be here today to tell you more about that. And then finally, the claimants need to show that the highest and best use of the property must have been residential at the time of acquisition, and that was certainly the case here. So to summarize, Mr. Boyle meets all of the requirements of Measure 49 except K, the real estate appraisal requirement. As I said, Mr. Boyle did submit an appraisal yesterday at 5 o'clock. I've had a chance to review it. That was due, however, on June 3rd, within 90 days of when we sent him the letter, so he did not submit that in a timely fashion. He contacted me a couple of weeks ago on August 5th to give me an explanation as to why he did not. He'll explain that to you himself today. And then, as I said, I received his appraisal yesterday. And then, unfortunately, we did not have time to review this appraisal as we normally would, and we've received a couple of others on claims that you'll be considering in the next couple of months. Normally, we would take this appraisal to our contracted appraiser and have them review it for us and make sure that it meets all the requirements of Measure 49, and that it's accurate and that it produces the proof of loss of value that we need to grant a Measure 49 claim. So unfortunately, we did not have time to review this or have our appraiser review this. And I looked at it myself, but certainly I'm not a real estate professional. So just to summarize for you the appraisal that Mr. Boyle, I think, will describe in a lot more detail. Under Measure 49, claimants are required to show the value 1 year before and 1 year after the challenged regulation. And in this case, the regulation came in place in July 1 of 2002. And so therefore, he needed to provide us with appraisal values for July 1, 2001. He did that at $450,000 for the home and $130,000 for the additional home site that could have potentially been requested there for a total of $580,000. And then second, he needed to provide an appraisal for July 1, 2003, and that's 1 year after the regulation. He has done that. The appraiser estimated the value to be $535,000, with an alleged loss, the difference between the two being $45,000. But under Measure 49, the claimants are required to take that value from, in this case, 2003, and bring it forward to 2008 dollars by using a T-bill index. He didn't do that in the formal appraisal, although he did submit that to me midday today, and I didn't have time to insert it into my presentation. I'm sorry about that. He'll probably talk about that when he comes up. In addition, the appraisal doesn't calculate the value added if Mr. Boyle is granted the ability to request an adjustment now to allow a land division. So the current appraisal doesn't include that kind of calculation, which would be required. And he'd have to show that allowing him the ability to appeal for an adjustment to subdivide his property is, in fact, just compensation for his alleged loss. Under Measure 49, the city does not have the option, as we did under Measure 37, to provide monetary compensation. What Measure 49 requires us to do is to estimate through the appraisal process that I described the loss, the estimated loss before and after institution of the regulation, and then compensate the claimant by granting additional single-family residences on the property. So we do not know what an additional single-family residence might allow, what it might be worth in today's dollars. So we know, if we take his numbers, and I have no reason to doubt his numbers, but I can't verify them. If we take his numbers, his alleged loss in 2003 was $45,000. We don't know if an additional house on his property nowadays would be comparable to that $45,000 loss. He has to show us what granting him an additional house would be worth in today's dollars to make up for this loss that the city has allegedly taken from him. I know that's complicated. Did I explain that clearly enough?
You have, but I don't even understand why that's relevant. If he's not making a claim for compensation and simply wants to build the house, why can't we have some kind of an agreement where he would waive any claims against the city on the condition we allow him to build the house?
You can waive the regulation as you did under Measure 37, but the waiver of the regulation has to be comparable, commensurate to the loss. So I'll make an exaggerated example for you. His loss was $45,000 or perhaps more. And what if granting him the ability to build an additional house on his property increased the value by $1 million? I'm sure that's not the case. That would be $1 million comparable compensation to him for a $45,000 loss in previous years. So I'm exaggerating the numbers.
And that's not allowed?
My reading of the law is that it's not allowed. I'd let Catherine address that as well.
I guess I'm just trying to get to, can't we just stipulate to what the value is, both sides, and agree that that's the value and call it good? I mean, it just seems like an academic exercise if all they want to do is build a house.
It is an academic exercise. This is a complicated law that we're struggling to try to understand and implement. And that's our interpretation of it. Catherine, if you can add more, please do.
I think all I can do is rephrase slightly what you said, which is under Measure 49, you don't get money, you get what you get in relief has to be equal to the value of what you've lost. And so in this case, if the value of what's been lost doesn't translate into the value of an additional residence, Measure 49 would suggest that relief is not available.
Let me follow up on Randy's point, though. If the claimant has missed a statute of limitations and therefore there's a clean basis just to deny the claim altogether, does that give us a basis, as Randy suggests, just to stipulate to a relief that the claimant would agree to in lieu of having the matter dismissed?
I can't say that, Catherine. Can you answer that? You're correct. He did miss the statutory deadline.
And there's a statute that says you have 90 days, right?
Correct, yes.
And is there anything in the statute that says that can be waived?
No, there is not.
The statute provides a procedure for re-reviewing claims, and it has certain points in time that certain actions have to take place. It doesn't specify a consequence if you fail to meet those timelines.
But as I understand it, it doesn't say you can't proceed with the claim. What it said was by a certain date, you'll make a decision based on the evidence that you have.
That's correct. We have an outside limit of 300 days or until early October to make a decision.
Follow up on Commissioner Fish's follow up of mine point. Why can't we just stipulate that, okay, these are what the conditions are, that all the sides agree the information at whatever given point in time indicated, and then agree that here's the settlement, you can build the house?
I can't stop you from doing that.
My guess is the only... So may I just jump in for a second? I just want to make sure I understand a few things. The statute says you have 90 days, mm-hmm. but doesn't specify under what conditions we would grant relief beyond 90 days. So right. Presumably, if the claimant for 90 days was unconscious at the hospital, it would be subject to the usual rules of waiver or estoppel. We would extend the time if through no fault of their own they couldn't. If they didn't receive the letter mm-hmm. or some traumatic event. So we would use those normal rules to extend. So 90 days has elapsed. We have not heard yet from the claimant as to why he did not respond. He has a right to make a presentation. But without the appraisal, on what basis can we determine what the value of the loss is?
The appraisal is the basis for that, and he has provided it with the shortcomings that I pointed out. I emailed it to your staff earlier today because I didn't receive it until yesterday evening. And he will elaborate on his appraisal. So that's the only basis that we do have.
So just since we're talking out loud here, is it within the scope of our authority to say, if you don't get a timely appraisal in, but you have some explanation, that we could, if we chose to, just overlook altogether the question of the value of the loss and simply give as the sole relief the right to go partition?
I believe you can do that.
Well, the relief you granted before was the relief to waiver of the regulations that prohibited them from applying for an adjustment to reduce the minimum lot size. So I don't know that you would want to be granting any greater relief than that if you were going to do that. But Measure 49 did change the scheme for previously approved Measure 37 claims. It made the sole remedy the right to have additional single-family residences, and it measured compensation in terms of, you know, being able to show that the value you lost was equal to the value of the additional single-family residence that you wanted. So it did change the scheme.
So now I think I understand the problem. If the quantifiable value of the loss was really $45,000 plus or minus, then the relief allowing them to subdivide and build a house could be greatly disproportionate to the actual demonstrated loss. Is that your point?
Correct. Exactly.
$45,000 was a 1960s figure?
2003.
Oh, 2003.
So, yes, it would be a little more than that if brought up to $2,008, certainly.
The problem I have with that is that by not putting an appraisal, we may be actually granting a windfall by allowing someone to proceed and get a benefit that's completely disproportionate to what the appraisal should have said was the loss.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But let me, in Mr. Boyle's defense, and he'll explain this further, what you would be granting him is not necessarily subdivision of his property. You would be granting him the ability to seek an adjustment. It's not a certain. It's not certain that he would receive that adjustment. He just wants the ability to seek it, as he had when he purchased
right
the property.
Right now, he's prohibited.
So there is some chance, some risk that he would not get that adjustment.
Before we go, I want to understand this $45,000 figure. The $45,000 loss really would be calculated in terms of the value of the residence he'd build, not on the market value, but the difference between what it would cost him to build it and the market value. Isn't that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
So, I mean, we have to make sure the $45,000 is thought of in the context of that. So it would cost an individual so much to build a house for the labor, literally the sticks and the mortar, but that's not the value, that's not the profit. That the profit would be whatever they sold it for above that. So,
right.
I mean,
what we're granting him is the ability to seek an adjustment for a developable piece of property. And then what he does with that developable piece of property is his choice. And then you're correct. Then there are some expenses involved. And
again, that just gets me back to my point. It just seems to be overly academic. I think we could.
This whole exercise
no,
is academic.
But I mean to an actual point, I think we could stipulate that the value of the construction of the house wouldn't result in more than a $45,000 profit adjusted for inflation in 2008 dollars, and be good.
Rough. Okay. Why don't you finish your presentation?
Okay, I'm almost finished. My conclusion is that Mr. Boyle didn't submit the required documentation in a timely manner, and the appraisal has not been reviewed by our professional appraisers. It's not clear that the granting the ability to appeal for an adjustment is, in fact, just compensation for the alleged loss. And so I would recommend, for those reasons, that you deny the Boyle Measure 49 claim.
Any other questions from council? All right. Do we go to Mr. Boyle for a set amount of time? How much?
I don't know that we have established any time limits for these
Mr. Boyle, or your representative, do you want to come forward? And we'll start with 5 minutes, see how that goes.
Okay.
If you need more time, we'll take it. Welcome to the City Council Chambers. Please state your name for the record.
I'm Robert Boyle, property owner, and my wife, Jane Justina Boyle, also property owner.
So I think we're interested in learning about the apparent failure to provide us with the appraisal, and also you're welcome to make any other comments in response to Chris' presentation.
Sure. I've been in contact with Chris recently, and he's very helpful, so I don't take any umbrage about him representing his position. I would like to say that, as Commissioner Leonard said, I believe this is a very, very confusing statute. I don't know if it's called a statute or a measure or whatever, but when I read the letter, on March 5th, I truly believe that I had already met all of the requirements. And I have the letter here if you'd like to see it. There's only one requirement that is being discussed here, and that's the one about providing an appraisal. And in my Measure 37 claim, I was allowed as a property owner to create my own appraisal, which I did, which was submitted, and the claim was approved. So I mistakenly thought that the appraisal in my claim was adequate. Now, it does say it as outlined in Measure 49, and to be frank, I thought I read that measure, but it's, I don't know if you folks have read that, but it's very, very, you have to be a lawyer to truly understand it, and perhaps I should have hired a lawyer to do so, but I did not. So we missed that milestone, and I truly believe it was a mistake. And then when the letter came that allowed us 15 days to respond, I was out of town. We were both out of town in Canada. My son was house-sitting for us. He threw all our mail in a paper bag, and we got, I'm sure it happens to all of you. And then the postcard came, and we looked at the postcard and went, well, you know, and then we went through the bag. Then we found the letter. Then I read through the letter, and on the third page it said recommendation of claim denied, something to that effect. And I got back as quickly as I could and made contact with Chris. And then in good faith, we have scrambled to get an appraisal. And we got one. We put it together. And I believe it met all the requirements. I took it, hand-carried it to Chris yesterday. And the one requirement that Chris noted that we didn't meet, we got that taken care of today. I went back to my appraiser, and he and I said, we have to provide, we have to show that $45,000 in current value, and we also have to tack on the cost of the appraisal. It also says that in the regulation. So I have that. I'd be glad to submit it, but I have the $45,000. And it depends on which way you look at the regulation. It can either be, the way I interpreted it, they wanted to know what's the $45,000 in 2006 dollars. So we have that, but we also have it right to today.
What is the 2006 figure?
The $53,062 with the cost of the appraisal.
And so I guess I'm just curious what that represents. Is that what the actual value of your property was, would have been?
It's very confusing.
What does that number represent?
It represents the differential. I'm sorry about that.
Chris can come up and help if make it quicker.
Yeah, I think I can state it.
I'm just wondering what the $45,000
that represents the loss that he sustained as a result of the change in the regulation. So, he has brought the 2003 dollar value up to 2008 dollars.
So that's
and you know, to my untrained eye, that looks correct.
So what's the number that we should be looking at?
Well, according to his calculations, and I haven't checked these, it's 56,200.
So 56,200 is the loss that he's experienced. And so what's the appraisal of the house?
The measure, again, it doesn't require you to tell you what is the current appraised value of the house and land. It only wants to know the appraised value of the house and land 1 year before the change in the zoning and 1 year after the change in zoning.
And so what's that difference?
The 45,000.
So according to his appraisal, it meets the criterion but for coming in late.
It does, and I realize this is all nitpicky in details. We're just trying to follow the statute as well as we can.
I have no quarrel with that. I'm just trying to understand.
And the one place where it is silent, really, is what would be the increase in value of his property today if you were to grant him the ability to seek an adjustment that he gained through his Measure 37 claim.
But isn't that the only relief that we can give him? We do not require
correct.
Compensation.
It is. That's correct.
The only relief we can give him is the right to seek an adjustment.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And that adjustment may result in a bigger windfall to him than just the $53,000.
That's right. So there is nothing that prevents you from doing that.
So it just gets me back to my original point. Can't we just, the statute doesn't prohibit us from making a decision if all the elements, the eight elements that you described, aren't in by a prescribed date. It just said that you have to make a decision based on what you have.
Correct.
Okay. So I think I'm prepared to do that.
Can I ask a couple of just other questions? How many claims fall into this category of which you're currently aware where someone has missed the 90-day deadline?
Let's say about half of the remaining ones do, and I'm going to be going through those today, and I have not been contacted by any of those other claimants. So, yes, several other claims will be rejected for this same reason, and other reasons, too, not just this, but other things as well.
And is there a way in the notice that we're not going to give a similar notice again in the future, right?
We hope not.
We can't go back and say we could have put it in bigger font and we could have said if you failed to act. That's
I made it as clear as I could. Perhaps I could have done a better job.
So if we were to make a grant relief in this case, potentially how many claims would be affected that would otherwise be barred by the 90-day rule?
Two or three that did not submit similar.
That's the only deficit in those claims.
Yes.
I think we have some claims for which we have not received no appraisal. This is a claim where we have received an appraisal way later than it was due.
But there might be as many as two or three or four where all the other conditions are met. Person has a meritorious claim, but there's a 90-day problem.
Correct. But they did not submit anything even now. So they have not even attempted to give us any information. It's not that it's late. It's just that it hasn't been submitted
easy.
At all.
You have to
see. This is the only one where it has been submitted late.
I'm clear, we're not setting some precedent that has a substantial impact. We're talking about a small number.
Correct.
And council has said we have the right to extend this. There's nothing in the statute which prohibits us from extending the 90-day clock.
I think her exact words were she wouldn't stop us. Do you have any final comments you'd like to provide?
I would like to just say something.
Understanding that you're ahead right now. So proceed at your own risk.
Okay. I'm only proceeding just to show my ignorance. I did open this letter on March 5th, and I gave it over to Bob because it's too technical, and he's decided to be the one in our family to handle this. And when we talked about it then, we thought that we were covered because it talks about just compensation, and we felt that we weren't asking for compensation on our Measure 37 claim, that we were only wanting to have the right to appeal.
Right.
And so we felt like this wasn't really talking to us. It was just like a form letter.
Understand.
And it had other things that didn't really relate to us, like they were, didn't want us to, well, my eyes are keep drawn to this section, and it says we can't use the property for the purpose of selling pornography or performing nude dancing. So we didn't intend to do that.
Well, thank you.
That's a relief.
Yeah. Yes. Well, thank you very much. You're welcome to return to your seats. And any discussion on council or any motions that council
would
like?
Commissioner Leonard, may I just propose a framework?
Mm-hmm.
There seems to me two issues. One is extending the deadline in which to submit the appraisal.
Having done this before, I wonder if you'd rely on me to make it a motion
yeah.
to cut
okay.
to the chase.
Yeah.
I would move that we approve the claimant's claim under Measure 49.
Well, let me just frame the other part that I have a concern about. We could do that, but we have not gone through our process of evaluating the appraisal and doing a verification. So would you consent to a two-step where we extend the deadline so it's a timely, we deem it timely filed, but give the Measure 49 coordinator a chance to review the completed file and report to us so that we can then take action? I'm a little concerned, though, about a situation where an appraisal could come in at the 11th hour, unless staff says that they have a sufficient
basis. I guess what I'm saying is that my motion is presuming we're making a decision based on the information that was submitted as of the deadline, and I'm not even taking into account the appraisal. So,
I guess what the risk that you're running is that our appraiser comes back and says it's deficient for any number of reasons.
Right.
I have no reason to believe that it is, but that's the risk you're running.
And we don't need to do that. I think we can approve the claim given the information we have without even technically considering the appraisal.
Well, and given the amount
I know
of
this
money,
may confound your lawyerly mind.
No, but I'm a recovering lawyer. Given the amount of money at issue and the fact that the recourse, the relief is to actually file an adjustment request and it's not linked to the dollar amount, I would be comfortable in this case. But if this comes up again, there may be a circumstance where a completed application reviewed by our coordinator would be a precondition for me going to the next level.
Right, but then we're not actually obligated to do that because of the way
Correct.
I'm approaching this. So I'd
okay.
actually think.
Okay.
Second.
Could I suggest an alternative?
Yes.
Essentially, what your motion proposes is that you approve the claim disregarding the appraisal.
Right.
It's going to be difficult in the claims to follow where we have no appraisal to distinguish why you're approving this claim and potentially denying others. I think the alternative you may want to consider is simply to accept Mr. Boyle's testimony and appraisal as is and decide to base your relief on a file with an appraisal.
I like that. That's good. So how would I frame that motion?
I think it's the same motion. It's the motion. It would be a motion to approve the claim under Measure 49 based on the Measure 37 claim file and the appraisal submitted by Mr. Boyle.
So move.
Second. Council discussion? Do I have to ask if there's any other testimony? Is there any other testimony on this issue? All right. Call the roll, please.
I don't think you're required to take additional testimony. You may if you wish.
We're not required?
I had someone signed up for the Boyle claim, a Myron Smith.
Myron, are you Myron? Please come on up before we take our vote. Please state your name, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Myron Smith. I'm a neighbor of the Boyles, and I know a lot more now than when I entered the room, so maybe I better not say too much. Except most of my comments were based on the concern with the benefits of another residence there, occupying what is now, because of the way the house is situated, you have a backyard which is not really accessible. It's 45 feet or so below the entrance to the house on the upper end, and instead of having a backyard, you have a vacant lot, and I think it would benefit the neighborhood to have a residence there, plus it benefits the city. For what, $6,000 in taxes, additional revenue. Okay. And that was those were my original comments. But listening to this, the $45,000 and versus the windfall. What I'm sometimes somebody out of the loop can see things better, maybe. But it seems to me that no one has considered the appraisal took into account the one house on the property rather than two. Does that make sense?
I hear what you're saying.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, if there's no one here else to testify, please call the roll.
Fish?
I'm going to support the amendment on the grounds that, or on the resolution on the basis that I believe the claimant had good cause to submit an untimely appraisal. And based on the presentation of the of Chris, I believe we have a sufficient record to rule on it. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Claim is approved. Which one do you want to go to next, Chris?
Byers, please.
All right. Carla, could you please read item 1186?
Yes. Accept staff report and recommendation and order of counsel for Byers Measure 49 claim.
Okay. Second claim, very similar in some respects. This is a claim brought by Deborah Byers. The council heard it in April of 2007. It's located in the Ash Creek neighborhood of Southwest Portland. Here's an aerial photo of her property, two structures on the property. It's on Southwest Garden Home. To summarize the Measure 37 claim, it's brought by Deborah Byers. It was brought by her. It's located at these addresses on Garden Home Road. The regulations challenged were a change in the comprehensive plan map designation from R7 to R10 as a result of the Southwest Community Plan. You can see these maps here. When she purchased the property in 89, the comp plan designation was R7. It was changed to R10 to match the zoning. She challenged that, saying that the change in the comp plan designation to a lower density deprived her of value of her property, potential value if she were wanting to develop additional houses on her property. Council agreed and granted her claim at the time. But since then, she did not undertake any additional actions. She didn't move to seek any additional structures or subdivide her property. Again, in our Measure 49 analysis, the same criteria apply. I won't go through them again unless you have questions on any of them. She, her claim met all of these, but except for, again, she did not submit an appraisal. To let you know, she called me after she received her letter. I explained what the requirements were and the situation, and she told me at that time that she was choosing not to undertake an appraisal, and I haven't heard from her since. So her Measure 49 claim is deficient for similar reasons. She did not submit an appraisal.
Is she here?
I don't believe so.
Or is anyone representing Deborah Byers in the room? Okay.
Would she have received notice of this hearing?
She received the same letter. And as I said, when she received the letter, she called me immediately. We talked about it at length. Okay. I told her what was required, and she told me at the time that she was choosing, I believe, because appraisals are expensive, she said she didn't want to undertake that. That's her choice.
Proceed.
So, therefore, my recommendation to you is to deny the Byers Measure 49 claim. And what would happen is that her comp plan designation would go back to the R10 that it was before her Measure 37 claim.
Any questions from counsel for Chris? Has anyone signed up to testify on this item?
No one signed up.
Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify on this item? All right, council discussion or motion making?
Move to adopt the staff recommendation.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded to adopt the staff recommendation to deny the Byers Measure 49 claim. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Claim is denied. That moves us to
Mr. Grudzinski's claim,
which is item 1189.
Okay, 1189. Accept staff report and recommendation and order of council for Dean A. Grudzinski, Measure 49 claim.
Chris.
Okay, you first heard this claim in November of 2005.
And your name is Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry. Chris Dearth, Measure 49 program manager.
Thank you.
The claimant is Dean Grudzinski, and he is here today. The location of his claim is 11700 Southwest 35th Avenue. The regulations challenged in his original claim were the environmental zone on his property and, again, similarly, a change in the comp plan designation from R10 to R20 as a result of the Southwest Community Plan. The property is located in the Arnold Creek neighborhood in Southwest Portland. The council order at the time, your decision on Measure 37, on two claims. He essentially had two separate claims. On the environmental zone claim, you decided to deny the claim because the environmental regulations subject to Measure 37 do not restrict the use or reduce the value of the property. And you found that many of those environmental regulations were exempt for public health and safety reasons. And the second claim had to do with the change in the comprehensive plan designation from R10 to R20 as a result of the Southwest Community Plan, similar to the previous claim. Again, our Measure 49 analysis goes through the same criteria, but in this case, the Grudzinski claim does not meet F, which requires one or more land use regulations prohibit establishing single-family dwellings. In this case, he can establish single-family dwellings on his property and is not prohibited. And then secondly, similarly, he chose not to submit a real estate evaluation as required under the measure. So under these criteria, Mr. Grudzinski is not eligible for a Measure 49 relief under Section 9.5. Those are the criteria that I described there. But there is a second avenue for relief, which I'll describe to you for under a common law vested rights. So the measure allows claimants, if they have established a common law vested right, and I'll go through the criteria that the measure outlines, to retain their claim under these. So the first of the criteria that the measure provides is that the amount of money spent on developing the use in relation to the total cost of establishing the use. And in this case, he has spent 100% of the money required to change his zoning that he was allowed to do after his comp plan designation was changed. So he qualifies under this criterion. Secondly, we have to take into consideration the good faith of the property owner in undertaking the process. And from everything that I can see, he did do that because he undertook what he said he was going to undertake shortly after you granted him his Measure 37 claim. Third, did the property owner have notice of the proposed change in the law before the beginning of the development? But in fact, Mr. Grudzinski undertook his changes before the legislature even started to discuss the referral that ended up on the ballot as Measure 49. So he did not, in fact, have the notice, and he qualifies under this criterion as well. We need to consider whether any improvements could be used for any other allowed uses. And his zone change, in fact, is simply a zone change. It's what he said his intended use was. And then lastly, whether the property owner's acts are more than mere contemplated use or preparation. He proceeded deliberately with the changes in zoning that he told us he wanted to undertake, and it was not mere preparation. So in my opinion, Mr. Grudzinski qualifies for a common law vested right under Measure 49, under Section 9, Sub 3 of Measure 49, and I would recommend that you grant him a common law vested right to his Measure 37 claim.
Questions for Chris from the City Council?
I
just have to compliment you for taking a mind-numbingly complicated matter and translating it into a way that even I could understand it.
Well, it has numbed my mind for weeks and months.
Is the claimant present or a representative that would seek to speak to the council? Please come forward. You have to come forward or forever hold your peace. Good afternoon. Welcome to City Council. Please state your name, and you have up to 5 minutes.
My name is Dean Grudzinski, and I have nothing to say. You just asked if I was present or not, and I am.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did anyone else sign up to testify on this matter?
No one else signed up.
Anyone else in the room seeks to testify on this matter? We'll entertain motions from the City Council.
Move to accept staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded to accept the staff's recommendation. Any discussion? Please call the roll. Carla?
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Claim approved. That gets us to 1190.
1190, accept staff report and recommendation and order of council for Lady and Sons, Inc., Measure 49 claim.
Chris Dirth, City's Measure 49 program manager. This measure was originally brought to you in April of 2007. You granted the Lotte and Sons claim on that. It's located in the South Tabor neighborhood at the junction of, it's on Southeast Powell at Southeast 57th. You can see the aerial there. To summarize, the claim for you was brought by Lotte and Sons, a small company. It's located at 5705 Southeast Powell. The regulations challenged by Lotte and Sons was a zone change. Their zoning was changed from a commercial zone when they purchased the property to an R1A residential zone property. The zoning at the time of purchase in 1988 was C2, which is comparable to a CG zone now. And the current zoning at the time of their Measure 37 claim was an R1A residential zone. So they could continue their current commercial use, but if they sold the property or if that use lapsed, then they would lose that commercial use. The council order at the time was to grant the claimant's claim for a waiver of the regulations and to waive the zoning back to a general commercial zone CG. And they had time since then to undertake any kind of zone change and commercial use on the property, but to my knowledge, they have not done so. We've had a number of conversations with them since then, but I have not heard from them in a number of months or since my Measure 49 letter went out to them. So again, we look at the criteria for Measure 49, same ones. They do not qualify under D, E, and F there. Measure 49 is written for single-family residences. This was a commercial property, so commercial and industrial and billboard claims no longer are allowed. So this kind of claim would not be allowed under Measure 49, and it doesn't qualify under these three criteria here. And again, they did not submit an appraisal similar to previous ones. So my conclusion is that Lotte and Sons is not eligible for Measure 49 relief, and I would recommend that you deny the claim.
Is a representative, or do you have any questions of Chris? Is the claimant or representative of the claimant here that seeks to testify? Okay, is there anyone in the room that would seek to testify on this matter? Did anyone sign up?
No one signed up.
All right, see no one come forward. I guess we'll entertain motions or conversation from the City Council on this item.
Move to accept staff recommendation.
Second. It's been moved and seconded to accept staff recommendations. Carla, could you please call the roll?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Staff recommendations approved. That gets us to backtracking a little bit to 1188. Is that right?
1188. Accept staff report and recommendation and order of council. Excuse me. for Augustine L. Calcano Family LLC Measure 49 claim.